Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Synergy is what we create when we come together. We are powerful when we are together. How do we use our power? Yeah, we have a responsibility. We have an accountability to what we do, who we do it with, who we do it for. I like to use the logistics. Let's just think about it in terms of numbers. Okay, let's say there's someone who's a 3 and someone who's a 5. When we come together, we don't become 8. Well, maybe we multiply. Do we come 15? No, we amplify. 5 to the third power, that's 125. That's a lot more than 8. But how about 3 to the fifth power? That's 243. The question is, when you come together with people, do you empower them to be exponentially more? Well, maybe you do. Then that begs the next question. Are you positive or are you negative energy? Yeah, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, there's no neutral energy. A lot of people like to use the sort of get out of jail free card. I don't care. I'm not either one. No, actually, you know what? Indifference is very negative. And when we're not making each other better, we are by default making each other worse. So do you appreciate the power that you have that comes with the responsibility? Who are you accountable to? And the other thing I tell people, there's no inertia. You're never not going anywhere. You're either going ahead or you're moving back. So when you're around people and you affect what they do and how they feel, are you bringing them with you forward or back? Now, usually I just have people call in and ask me questions or I'll talk about a topic. But you know what? Today I have a guest, a companion in business. Yeah, a colleague. He's someone that I met recently, but I respect him and I admire him and I appreciate him because he can actually have an intelligent conversation with a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. And he still has that interesting, right, and fun attitude. You can talk about serious things but still have positive energy. His name is Aaron Douglas. He's actually the owner of La Rock Academy. And you know what, Aaron, I just want to introduce you right now to my listeners. I love the fact that we've spent the last week working together, talking to each other. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Hey, hello, everyone. This is Aaron Douglas Live. I'm glad to be here with you all today. My name is Aaron Douglas. I do leadership training, public speaking, a lot of different topics on a lot of different with a lot of different people. I'm glad to be here today to discuss some topics around the power of synergy with Gabriel Cardona here. And we're going to get into it in just a bit. I have a lot to say, and I'm glad to connect with your audience. I'm glad to be here.
But okay, you started out in kindergarten selling lemon cough drops. You are quite right. The little entrepreneur. One of the things that you spoke to me about was community cohesion. Now, look, we are in a capitalist society, but we really do want to make money. It's all about the money. It's all about profit. More, more, more. But what is, in your opinion, community cohesion? What does that mean?
Community cohesion is a couple of different things. I like to take it back to understanding one another. At the very ground level, it's understanding one another to put things together, right? Cohesion like tape, right? When we tape something together, there's a left side, there's a right side. We want to merge it together. And so, but we have to understand the left side and the right side to know where we can help each other at. And that's how we get to community cohesion and working together and building a stronger, you know, universe and life for us all. So you pull things together and go from there.
Okay, but then one of the things that you mentioned also, kind of in a description of what you do, is that stems from resilience and authenticity. Those things have to be the source of what we do in order to create cohesion. What is authenticity? Because I know what I do as a coach, when I teach people about their personality, yeah, you have to be real. But what is authenticity in the work that you do, that you teach people?
Right. So when I'm working with clients, when we talk about authenticity, we're talking about being your most genuine self, right? Real is a term that gets thrown around these days in a lot of different directions. But when we're looking at authenticity, we're saying genuine. We're saying, hey, when you wake up, who are you, right? when you feel an emotion, are you letting it out? Are you expressing it? Self-expression relates to authenticity, right? We're talking about a lot of things. Authenticity can relate to, you know, are you feeling heard? Are you able to self-express? So it's almost like the environment around you, right? A lot of people sometimes put boundaries, right, on their authenticity based off their environment. So a lot of it is how you're setting up your life. How can you be authentic with the people around you? Or can you
there
be authentic?
There you go. Stuff okay. Like that, stop. Right? Stop right there, because we're going to get into that. I've actually made kind of a list of questions that I want to ask you about topics that are very important to the work that you do. But also, you're not exactly the same as me in what you do. But for the most part, in principle, there are a lot of complex elements in that kind of success in your life. Now, I do still want to open up the phone lines in case anyone has an opinion that they want to express or a question that they want to ask either you or myself. 888-627-6008. That's the number to this station. And what I want to do is kind of, well, keep it in sort of an order of the topics that we discuss, because it's a very complex dynamic when we're talking about authenticity, self-awareness. Look, Aaron, you can't see the forest for the trees. Most people cannot objectively see themselves. How in the world are they supposed to be authentic if they don't even know who they are in the first place? What would you say to someone who asked that question?
I will say, hey, you know, that's first off, that's an amazing question. And I'll be like, hey, you know what? The first thing in first place and first thing I would do is reflect, right? So reflection is the first thing, because we don't know. Right. Where do we start? Well, we start from what we do know. OK. And what do we know? Well, we know we probably love this type of environment. Maybe we love the city life. Maybe. OK. You know, like, OK. Why do I like the city life? Well, maybe I like being around people. OK. So why do I like to be around people? Did I have a big family growing up? Did I, you know, yada, 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 et cetera. So you start to reflect on what you already know. And it's going to start to take you places where you didn't know you can go. Right. And so that's my first step. Someone is first. Let's reflect. Right. And secondly, from there, we're going to look into the you got to break it down step by step by step. And then from there, it'll take you to different directions. You'll learn more about yourself and you'll be able to reflect better in the world today.
Okay. So now, look, we got a lot of emotions going on inside of us when we have when we are isolated from each other and we don't even know how to relate to other people. We get very self-aware. We get very self-centered. Do you think that knowing who we are, first of all, is tough when we're not around people, or it's easier?
Well, that's a really good question as well. I would say that it takes a little bit of a yin and yang, a little bit of left and right, right? So I think that they're equal. I think that the time you should balance it, right? So I'm a big eye on balance. The time you spend inside reflecting on yourself, looking at habits, looking at your actions, looking at, you know, your lifestyle around you is solid. And then also going out in the public. People, you know, we learn a lot from the people around us and our environment around us. So a simple conversation, you know, and someone's response and feedback to you says a lot about who you are, right? When you go outside, are you high vibration? Are you going outside and are you, people, hey, how you doing? Got a nice smile on, good energy, chest up, right? And greeting people. So,
okay, but Aaron, you know what, Aaron, let me just stop you right there. You're delusional. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when people are in a restaurant, first of all, I'm literally in a restaurant right now. There is no one here in the lobby. And second, when people do come here, they are, let's see, on their cell phones. And when they are in a grocery store and there is a long line, people either look the other way or they are literally on their cell phone while they are waiting. How can people do that if people don't want to be with each other?
I wouldn't say it's that. I think that what happens is we're all in our own mental cubicles. So I don't believe that people are denying other people. I believe that we're so self-engrossed. Now, to get them out of their mental cubicles, right, just like you want to get a rabbit out of a cage, you reach into the cage and grab the rabbit. So you have to take the initiative. And you have to say, hey, I like those shoes there, man. Hey, where'd you get them from, right? So you have to have that mentality and that. And then, you know, that can be challenging for a lot of different personality types if we're getting into that Myers-Briggs that we talked about earlier this week. But you find a way where you're comfortable to engage with others and you kind of take the initiative at times. Or if there's a moment where you can take advantage of it and say, hey, you know, meet right in the middle with someone, that's a way as well.
Okay. But if people are suspicious and they're defensive simultaneously, because look, what I do sometimes for my show, I'll go out business to business in my neighborhood, or I'll reach out on LinkedIn to connections and I'll ask a question, their immediate response is, who are you and what do you want from me? Why are you asking me this question? What are you trying to get from me? And I literally say to them, I just want to know your opinion. And they're like, why do you want to know my opinion? And I'm like, because I want to know you better and I want to know what's important to you. How do you get over that initial impediment? Some people would call it a barrier. Some people would just call it a challenge of people saying defensively, suspiciously, what are you out to do and get from me? How do you overcome that?
Perfect. So what we're looking for here is, you know, let's break it down, right? So essentially they're saying, I don't trust you. I don't respect you yet. What are you doing knocking on my door, right? It's your job to say, hey, right? Be real and honest, but you do it in a way where it's welcoming. So you say, hey, I'm here just to talk to you about X, Y, and Z. I value your opinion. Last week you did really well. Is there a time, maybe 30 seconds or so we can discuss this? It will help both of us. So you find a way where you present it, where we're working together. You value who they are. And you go directly, and that typically gives you a positive, at least email response, phone call back, et cetera. That's typically how I do it. And it tends to go really, really well. And I also teach that at the Lee Rock Academy as well.
Okay. Now, again, I'm so glad you brought up the work that you do. Look, I'm opinionated about this too. People don't want to go to a building. They want to do it online. They want to do it from their phones. They want to do it on a computer. And so what in the world makes you think that you can actually get people to go to a location and sit in a seat with other people around them when they can easily get out of jail free card with their phone, right? Or their computer? What makes you think people are going to want to do that?
Well, very simply, what people are, you know, if we just look at ourselves at the basic level, we're looking for things that align with us. So the more you align with them, their interest and what they're looking to do, the probability, right? There's a higher chance of them wanting to, hey, I'll step outside the house and hear what he or she has to say. So it's usually an alignment synergy, right? We're on the power of synergy, a synergetic conversation or energy you need to present to them. So, you know, people are usually more reflective when you show up at their door with something that has nothing that has to do with them. They're usually, that's when you get the harsh energy, or that's where most people are fearful of receiving. But all you have to do is, maybe sometimes you have to do some background work. Sometimes you have to, you know, do some online research. That can be your at home time. But then when you are out in public and in reaching out to people, you might want to align very closely with some of their goals. For example, if it's a small business owner, you know that small business owners, they support the local community. You know, they're really hyper focused on growing their brand usually and getting it growing their company. So usually approaching them with things that align with their category, what they do, right? And then pointing them in a better direction from there. So with what they align with. So you really want to align people together.
Okay. And that, again, that requires some kind of direct interaction. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about kind of how to initiate that connection activity. And again, if people want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. I'm going to go ahead and start expressing some opinions when we come back, and we'll have more of a dialogue here going. Again, this is BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to The Power of Synergy. This is BBS Radio, and I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Now, today we're talking about synergy in becoming more powerful, but also empowering others, facilitating them when we come together. Look, Aaron, I said in the beginning of the show, there is no neutral energy. You are going to make people more powerful. That could be in a good way or a bad way. Let me ask you this. Do you think social media encourages people to be more social?
That's a great question. I would actually say it depends on how you look at that, right? So you can be social in many ways. Obviously, we want, you know, the human to human interaction is the utmost important. And so sitting behind a screen or behind a phone doesn't do us much justice there. So I would say no in that regard, but also leveraging just, you know, your ability to reach a lot of people online is something that social media has, you know, brought to this world. So, you know, it depends on which angle, but generally speaking, face-to-face connections, I'll say social media is not doing us much justice as it used to previously when we used to walk outside and, you know, shake a hand and meet a friend.
Right. I agree with you on that. But when we're talking about things like COVID-19 that literally told us, get away from me 6 feet and cover your face so I can't hear your voice. It's almost a matter of survival of the fittest. That took away our capacity to do things like feel empathy, because it's really just a matter of people are dangerous and you got to protect yourself from people. How are we supposed to be able to develop and cultivate things like empathy? If we have empathy for someone, we have literally been taught by technology and things like COVID-19, you need to stay away from people at least up to a certain point. You can't let them in past a certain point. How can you have empathy for someone if you're that far away from them?
Hey, that what that means is we have to take the extra mile. So that, you know, COVID-19, as we all know, it was a roadblock for a lot of human interaction. So that means, hey, as one thing stops us on the left, we need to find a way to keep leveraging things on the right. So that means what? More calls. That means more conversations. That means finding a way to interact with people on the daily basis more, like finding that you taking that initial burn inside of you to interact with others and actually applying it and meeting others, talking to them, you know, keeping that practice going, just like any skill, right? If you don't use it, you sure do lose it, right?
Okay. Now, when I'm thinking about one of my favorite topics to discuss with people is being detached or disconnected. Okay. Mm. One of the things that I wanted to ask you was, is it harder to feel empathy in the first place or to show it? For me, detached is from other people. Disconnected is from yourself. Do you think it's harder now in the world that we live in for people to feel attached to their empathy in the first place, or they're disconnected so they can't show it even when they do feel it?
I believe, right, with empathy, it starts inside with the person. So you have to really feel it first, right? You have to feel, really, really be the thing before you do the thing, right? So you have to be the person to deliver it, right? So you shine the light inside of you out to the world. You don't, you know, you don't grab from the world and then try to stick it inside of you. You reflect, right? And so, you know, I think it's more challenging to be, you know, to actually be that empathetic, sound person, that emotional, intelligent person way before it is to show it. Because when you show it, you'll just exude it. You'll be it, right? You never have to turn it on or off. It's one of those things that's always with you. So it's always more challenging to be the thing, right? Go through those obstacles, do those reflections, right? Go through those understandings and then show it. You know, showing is the easy part, right? It's just like, you know, someone on Broadway, they practiced it a million times before they actually, and they became the character before they actually, you know, show it and express it. So similar setup.
Okay. But then how would your academy, your schooling, your training, how would you teach people that? Because it's one thing for you to watch a television show or to watch a or listen to a show like mine where they're saying, yeah, be healthy, be happy, be successful. How in the hell are you supposed to do that?
Oh, very simply. Here go some practical steps for every listener out there listening. So okay. Here's what we do, right? So I'm very big on role play, right? If we're not doing it, really not doing anything, right? So at my academy, okay. What we do, you know, we meet, you know, we come from all different backgrounds. So we'll either hop on a Zoom and I'm setting up, you know, future locations in person. But essentially, we'll come together almost like a debate or negotiation setup, and we'll have conversations. Now, we'll have conversations based on the different emotions. So let's say this scene here might be an anger conversation, right? So we might have some high tonality, you might have some rush of emotions. I'll paint a picture, almost like we're in acting class, if you will. And what that allows you to do is be in that moment, take those deep breaths, and find inside yourself a response through actually saying back to another person, right? And working through that situation just as if it's happening real time. So we get used to practicing this skill so much from actually doing it at my academy that when you walk outside your doors every morning, you're winning the world and you're having different conversations, easy as pie.
Okay, so then this is one of the things that you and I were kind of bantering about whether we should even include in the show today as a topic is dealing with conflict. Look, you can role play all you want, but now look, one of the things, it's kind of a joke that I like. My middle son actually sent it to me. It said, arguing with a woman is like reading the terms and conditions. Eventually, you just ignore everything they say and agree. Okay. So now when we're talking about conflict, my husband's version of that is he says, I'm sorry. Right. That's the concession. And I say, don't you dare say you're sorry. If you're not sorry, you're just trying to get out of jail free, to get away from the actual conversation, to resolve the conflict. So I give him what's called a get out of jail free card. And that is, I'm sorry once removed, which is, I'm sorry that I'm not sorry. That way he's not lying to me, but at the same time, he's still respecting my feelings. And he says, well, in the beginning, he said, what is, I'm sorry once removed? I said, you can say that you're not sorry for what you said or did, but you're sorry that I feel hurt. You're sorry that it caused me pain or frustration, but you would do it again if you were given the chance. Okay.
That right.
So when people say, let's just agree to disagree, what do you think of that sort of get out of jail free card? We agree to disagree. And what does your institution teach about that dynamic?
Guys, I'm going to be very straightforward here today. I do not believe in the agree to disagree. I think that I'm not a big believer on Band-Aids. I love to actually do the surgery, right? It'll speed things up. It's more efficient, right? Not a big Band-Aid guy here, you know?
Okay.
The way I look at it, let's talk about it really quickly. Then I'll tell you what my academy does. To break down conflict resolution, when someone says something you don't like, right, what's your first thing is to acknowledge. Always acknowledge and respect the person, right? Have love for humanity. So, hey, I respect that opinion. I appreciate your thought process on that and where that came from. From there, I also would like to say that we could take that a step further. So what you have to do is find the transition words or the language to take where you both are in disagreement and go to the next level where you guys can find that cohesion we talked about earlier. So it's a lot of your verbiage and how you transition your words. And it's a lot of how you acknowledge others. It's a whole study. So what I teach is first we go through an acknowledgement process. We appreciate them for being open enough to communicate with us on their point, right? It has nothing to do with right or wrong, left or right. Thank you for sharing. What we can do here is I think this, you think that. It might be a great idea to say X, Y, and Z, and maybe we can, like, so you
okay, you know up. What? You know what, Aaron? I'm just going to stop you right here because let me tell you something. I know that you're speaking in a best case scenario when everybody is calm. But what if, and this happens, I want to say 99 out of 100 times, women go whack job and they get emotional and men get overwhelmed and they shut down. So sometimes they're like, you know what? We're going to take a time out because the woman has gone completely psycho and the man doesn't have the ability to manage her because she's not going to be that way when she talks to him. One of my favorite scriptures, actually, and I don't usually preach about this, but it's if you're having a hard time, you take a time out, but only until a specific time where you come back together. You have to be able to say to each other, okay, we may need to decompress. We may need to diffuse a little bit, but we do have to come back to address this to get some resolution. Do you think time out when a woman or a man is emotionally overwhelmed is a good idea, or do they need to stick it out?
I would say that time is a great thing. I preach what you preach, right? Which is like separate when obviously things are getting really heated and you can see that there's no direction in the conversation. No one's going forward. We're not getting any points across. We're not, reaching any goals. Let's come back to that, right? Like they say, let's put a pin in it. So I believe the same thing. I believe it's very valuable. I believe that that needs to happen, though, a little bit later in the conversation. Like, you have to get to that point. That point usually comes later. You know, like you said, it's a buildup of emotions. The woman's having a whack job. You know, that's usually like, but we can usually prevent that. That shouldn't usually be happening. Usually you can prevent that with your word choice if, you could calm down the situation usually.
Okay, so you don't think that it's just a women are hormonal thing, that it's a hormonal inevitability and that women are just going to go crazy always, and whenever there's a conflict, it's going to be happening no matter who they are, what they think.
No, I love and respect the feminine energy so much. As a matter of fact, very intuitive it is. So I believe that all it is very simply the, just understanding one another and saying, hey, they have a different point, I have a different point, and oh, that's okay. So accepting everybody has different points of view is really the mentality behind it all, right? Once we understand that, everybody, and this is what I teach at the Lee Rock Academy as well, once we understand that people have different points of view, it's okay. Like, a lot of times they teach in traditional culture that I'm right, you're wrong. I have to be above you, you have to be beneath. I make the money, you work for me. You're the slave, right? And that's not the case here, right? We're bringing working on bringing humanity back together. And love is the ultimate, the middle cause, the juice in the middle. So, to go back to it, let's agree, right? To disagree, usually later in the process, but up front, it's like, hey, you have a different opinion than me. Hey, it's okay. And I respect that. Let's let where can we go from here? It's very simple.
Okay, so I personally believe that a lot of it has to do with your personality, and quite frankly, most of my success with my clients has been because I have told them beforehand, before you have that conflict, before you have that disagreement, understand everything about the person that you're with so you're prepared, so that you know beforehand if and when that does in fact occur, you will have pre-established boundaries and you will discuss certain rules for behavior, because I'll tell you something. Look, my children, three very different personalities, three very different people, and I had to read up on all of them to know what works. Like gold for my oldest would break my middle son's heart. You can't do that. You can't say that. How important is it for people to say, yeah, I already know at least before it happens that it just might happen. And when it does, we can both agree that these things are okay, but these things are not.
So, understanding personalities obviously is a key component to having a higher probability or a higher chance of having a more peaceful conversation, right? Anytime you can prepare and go into something with knowledge, it's always better than just kind of freeballing it or winging it for the most part. Obviously, when working with others, it takes time to observe, maybe ask a question or two, just at least give you something to go off of. You don't have to know, read the whole dictionary, right? But you do want to be able to have something to balance off of. And so in your case with different, personalities and your children, it's really good that you understand all the different personalities. It helps probably the cohesion of the family life, which helps the, more families cohesive together, makes a really good society. So, my thing is if you can, a lot of times, like you said earlier, we're out in public randomly. We don't have that, to go off of, right? So, you can maybe say shoes and see how they respond to shoes. Hey, you have some nice shoes. Maybe they're like, thank you, right? Maybe they're producing that negative energy and that lets you know, okay, well, they might have a rough day. This might not be a conversation worth having right now. So, if you don't get the advantage of preparing, one thing you can do is just be aware and wait till the universe gives you that energy back for you to make your next step. So, a lot of people, what they do, and this is what I work through at the academy as well, is I help them release that anxiety of interacting with different people. Release that anxiety of, when you're walking up to someone new, how do you approach that conversation? How do you start that conversation, right? Et cetera. So,
Okay,
it's really.
so then when we come back, that actually begs the next question that I want to ask. We're going to take a real quick break here. And if anybody has a question or comment, again, the number is 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona.
All right.
Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, and today we have a guest, Aaron Douglas. We're talking about how we can create positive energy when we come together. We need to work together. When we have that mindset of, I'm going to be proactive and positive, the people in our lives also have that energy and they have that approach. We need to get to know each other better. Aaron, you're talking about spending time together, taking the time to know each other. One of the things I love about Spanish, one of the many things that I think Spanish is superior to English for, is the word the word to know, right? Knowing something. Information is different than people. There's actually two different words for knowing a fact from knowing an individual, because it takes time. You can memorize facts about a person all day long, but until you're with them, you don't truly understand them, and you cannot have a connection with them.
That's right.
So how much should we accept that people are an inevitable part of our life, and how much should we just be very selective about who we let in? I am an introvert, and I say, look, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of work to get to know somebody. I'm only going to put that much energy and that much work into someone who's very worth it. You know what? My husband and son, they're both extroverts. They go into a restaurant. They like someone. They have a 30-second conversation. They hit it off. Oh, yeah, we're friends. How involved should other people be in our life?
Wow, that's an amazing question. I feel like, I love this topic. I love teaching about this one too. It's called having strategic relationships, right? So, you got to be strategic, guys, right? I mean, we only have so much time while we're here, and we just want to make sure that we're capitalizing on everything we want to do in this fun and in life. So, you just approach things like, hey, you're upfront, honest, and you just make sure that every person you want to reach out to is somebody that you really want to build with. So that energy you were talking about, really, you know, the difficulty of, you know, for introverts to put all of your energy into it, just make sure it's really worth it and that you're going to get an outcome at the end. So you look at it as if, okay, I'm putting all this energy in, I'm introverted, I'm really enclosed, and this is really different and new to me, you know, but putting it all here, this is a long-term relationship I'm looking to build, and it's worth my time and energy. So you find a way to balance it on the other side as well. Obviously, you know, running around as an introvert, just mingling with everyone is not really the great formula, I would say, for you, but finding out, you know, the relationships you really need in this lifetime for the life you're looking to build will allow you to, you know, put that energy and work really hard on, you know, those relationships as an introvert. But you'll get the gain out at the end, you know, once you build that life.
So then that's about how actively involved other people are in the decision making process. Then let's just get very down to the basics. How much of your decision should be based on other people as an element in your life?
Wow, that's a really, really good question. How much decisions should be based off other people? I mean, it depends, man. I think that it's very difficult to make decisions that don't involve other people. Usually our decisions do affect other people. So I think the way to approach decision making is to obviously make the decision that's best, but consider others around, right? Consider, you know, the effect it's going to have on other people around, but you still have to sometimes make those tough decisions, right? So you do your best to make sure you're inclusive, but sometimes you have to make those tough calls realistically, right? So in life, these days, there's a lot of tough calls financially. A lot of people have to make with this inflation. Nonetheless, they try their best to, you know, support their whole family with some of the decisions they make. Some guys these days are flying around for work. So, you know, that's a tough decision there, especially for a lot of my family men that I coach in the Lee Rock Academy. But, you know, all you can do is consider everyone, try your best to set something or prepare for everyone. And you kind of just have to make that decision and that move.
Okay, but here's the bottom line, Aaron, and this is what I love to talk about this. Even if it's just sitting in a coffee shop while I'm waiting for a beverage, I like to talk to people about this. One of the just my pet peeves about the American society, again, it's not a culture, is that people say, well, I take care of myself. I put the mask on myself first. And what that means is that's their justification for being narcissistic, which is I'm going to do everything for me and myself, to myself, about myself, with myself. And I'm not going to be concerned at all about other people, because once I am 100%, then I will go ahead and be loving and generous and caring. But I always say to people, you don't get to do that unless when you're done being narcissistic, you are in fact amazingly humanitarian and generous and benevolent to other people. When people are taking care of themselves, how often are they doing it with the intention of being good to and for and with other people? And how often is it just their justification to be completely narcissistic?
Man, I'm like you on this viewpoint. I believe that the American society with the capitalism has allowed a lot of these, you know, citizens to be, you know, solo-minded and very egotistical and narcissistic. My ultimate pet peeve in life, if anybody out there is listening, that is my pet peeve. There is someone who just a disregard to anybody else in humanity and all about their personal gain. It actually yields a lot of passion for me and not a positive direction for those people. Now, what I would say is, the most of the journey, guys, if you're out there living, if you're actually out there experiencing life in the day to day, most of the journey is actually working with others, combining your creativity with three other person's creativity. That's where it's at. Not in this, I'm important to myself, so, you know, just listen to me, or here I am. Ha ha. Look at this big truck. Big guys, like, that's a very empty life. If you are out there listening and you do have that type of life, I reckon that you, reevaluate a little bit, right? Life is more than just how cool you are, how much money is in your bank account, guys. If I don't say anything, if you don't hear anything else today, you have to hear this right here, right? Life, the fun part is what we're doing here today, right? Being able to bounce ideas off and to help others, okay?
Yeah.
I had to bring some passion there, guys, because you have to understand that's an ultimate pet peeve. That the one thing I don't like the most is narcissistic people, because how do you think you didn't even give yourself life? So how do you think you're that important? You're that important? That's crazy. You didn't even wake yourself up this morning, right? If we're getting into a spiritual sense there. So I definitely had to share that passion there, but go ahead.
Okay. So then, you know what? Again, I should have said this a couple more times, but the number, if you want to call in, is 888-627-6008. The phone lines are always open. And Don, my producer, he's ready to take anybody's calls. But then let's talk about life then when it comes about decision-making. Mm-hmm. There are some decisions that are more important than others, and you have to be mindful. You have to be selective. Okay, mindful, that's another buzzword. That's a fancy way of saying what? Insightfully, profoundly wise in a spiritual way. No, it's not. Being mindful just means knowing what the hell is going on, being aware of it and caring about it. So now let's talk about this. What decisions in life are the most important that you don't get to brain fart your way through?
Oh man, that's an amazing, I love that question. I love that question so much. Thanks for asking it. So the decisions in life that I believe are most important are, who do you want around me? Well, me, right? But who do you want around you, and what relationships do you actually want? Like, how do you, for example, how do you want those relationships to be? Do you want a lot of friends that are, you know, around for the good times? Or do you want actual strategic business partners? Like, your relationships are going to play a big role in your life and your family's life in the future. Has to be something we discuss. Next thing is income level and how much work you want to put into earning, right? And so that will literally tell you what you do to earn, right? So like, if you're, you know, the more ambitious people tend to have the longer schooling, the longer years in entrepreneurship, right? So it depends on like how much you want to work. That's a really good decision. And what do you want to do? Your relationships, who do you want around you? And what do they do, right? That's very important as well. So the people, the lifestyle, and spirituality, like, what do you want to believe in? How do you want to relate to the community around you? Very, very important topics. 1, 2, 3 that I believe every person listening here today has to sit at home, if you haven't done so already, and do some reflection on.
Okay. But when we're talking about success in life, you're talking about money. You're talking about your career, the people. Okay. We define success primarily on our career. And by that, I don't even mean the work you do. I mean your job title. I really and truly think that people are confused when they come to me. When they come to me as a life coach, literally the first client I ever had was a district attorney of a very important metropolis, okay? And he just basically said to me, if you can explain to me why I come from a great spiritual family, I have a very impressive job title, I make more money than I can, you know, even spend, right? And I am good looking. Okay, I'm rich. Why am I not happy? All I had to do was give him his personality profile. And I said, look, you are doing extroverted thinking activities for 8 hours a day. You need to be doing introverted intuiting for 8 hours a day and only talking to people for 2 or 3 hours a day. He went, you're right. I want to be a professor. He took a significant pay cut, but he was happy. So what is our lifestyle, what would actually make us happy in the form of success?
That's amazing. So I guys, and I do want to say some sharp points here. So I'm not a big believer of a job title tells you anything about anyone. We didn't even create the job titles that we apply for. So guys, we have to bring our egos down there and we have to look at the life in a more holistic way. I think a better way to approach it, and this is also what I teach, is when we approach things, let's do it like this. Every one decision we make affects like five things. So it's a ripple effect, just like taking a rock and throwing it on the pond, right? You see the water disperse. Same thing with our decisions. So, you know, when you're looking at career and job, you don't just look at income. You don't just look at some job title to impress whoever is out there, right? Whatever that means. You look at it like, okay, this job title is going to allow me to serve the community in this way, and I'll be able to give. So you look at your giving. You can you know, donate. You can also look at any ways you work. So you look at the ripple effect of your decision making, and that tends to give people more peace and more happiness than just, hey, I'm going to go to school for this job and it pays six figures. Like, right. I haven't. Maybe you all have seen someone out there that took a singular focus of just income and just job title and actually has a peaceful, loving environment and happiness in life. I haven't seen it. Not one time.
That's really about your motivation. Okay, so then what we're going to do is take one last break, one real quick break. When we come back, we're going to be kind of getting deeper into that personal decision level of your lifestyle. Again, the number to the station is 888-627-6008. I've got a great guest here, Aaron Douglas. My name is Gabrielle Cardona, and this is BBS Radio, The Power of Synergy. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, the owner of Synergy Relationship Coaching. And today I'm talking to Aaron Douglas, the creator of Lee Rock Academy, and also a sort of kindred spirit. We've got some different approaches to what we teach people, but substantively it would be the same content because the focus is about creating something positive with the people around us in order to empower them to be more successful in their own life. And look, you know what? Some people are Christian. They say do unto others. Some people are more of the Oriental philosophy. What goes around comes around. We could call it karma. When you have the philosophy of, yeah, we're accountable to each other. We have personal power. We have to be good people. Be good people. Be nice, okay? Care more about others than you care about yourself because there's going to be a result. There is going to be a consequence. So when you're talking about making decisions in your life, you really want to set yourself up for success, but it's also about personal growth. You have to be improving yourself because the other thing I say, you can never be idle. You're never stagnant. You're either moving forward or you're moving back, and it's either in a positive or in a negative way. It's never neutral. You have to be aware of what you're doing to have that positively proactive, beneficial, right, manifestation of good things in your life with the people that you're with. Okay. So now when we're talking about self-reflection and personal growth, I'm sorry. I'm an 80s baby, Generation X. 90s, the 90s, we saw a lot of the meditation and women and their yoga mats and they're levitating with their mindful oneness with the universe. Okay, that's nice. That's pretty. And yeah, you can contort yourself into many different positions. But you know what? Your husband doesn't really want to be with you. Okay. And your kids don't trust you. But yes, you have a great body and you know how to use really nice buzzwords. How do you truly understand yourself? Aaron, I know what I think. I think it's a lot about knowing your personality. But what would you teach someone as a way to understanding themselves better?
Perfect. I love this question. I'm going to be honest with you. This is actually a question that I get more times than not, right? I say, if you're out there listening, I say, grab a piece of paper and grab a pen. What you're going to do is when you reflect today, hopefully today or later today, whenever you broadcast this, you want to literally write down some of your actions. So the only way we'll grow is from actually looking at our actions and accepting what actually happened here in the 3D realm. Everybody following? The 3D realm, just for those that don't know, is the realm where we're moving in, we see, et cetera. So, in your example, right, husband doesn't want to be around, the kids don't trust her. We need to write down her actionable steps. Is she yelling at everyone? Is she waking up in peaceful energy? Are the first words that come out her mouth anything of positivity? Right? Is it not just a good morning? How are you? Good. How are you? Not that, guys. We're not conditioned anymore, right? It's more about actually saying, hey, today's a great day. I'm glad to be here. I have a couple tough tasks, but I'm definitely going to work through them. Have a great day, son. Right? That energy is different than good morning. How are you? Good. Did you finish your homework? Right? Like, so it's all about writing down your actionable steps, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We want to write those down. I woke up. I was rude to my husband. I woke up. I yelled at my son to get in the car for school. Literally, write down as simple,
okay, no,
straight.
But you know what, Aaron? That doesn't work. And I'll tell you why. Because you can't see the forest for the trees. People cannot see themselves. No, I'm not done here because you just touched a nerve here. One of the things that my father told me when I was a very little girl is when you lie to other people that you don't know, you miss out on opportunities. When you lie to people you love, you die alone. When you lie to yourself, it's all over for you. You're worse than dead. Okay, that scared me to death because people are not honest with themselves. How are they supposed to be able to know these things? They're not going to sit there and go, gee, I was a very bad person today. I was rude and disrespectful to my husband. I was condescending to my children. How are they supposed to be able to do that?
That's an easy fix, only because they can feel it. So no matter what their brain tells them, their intuition is going to tell them the truth. So when you go in, right? So
okay.
No matter what, there are two different brains, right? You have your brain up in your head, which is the ego, which is the I'm right, get out my way. The ego is more, ego is more of separation. And then you have the brain in your soul. So for you, when you tell a lie, unless you, you know, and usually there are some people that have lied so much that they lose conscious of it. But usually most people, we can get there, right? But, you'll know, like when you lie and then I look you in your eyes and I wait a couple seconds, you'll feel it naturally. I don't have to do anything. And then you do that enough times, you begin to feel bad about yourself. So essentially, have the truth radar inside you. You were born with it every day. So for anybody out there who say, I don't really know myself, let's be realistic. Did you really take the cookie out of the cookie jar earlier, right? So come on now, right? We know, and you know too. And so although people do have that mental barrier of them being a perfect person in their eyes, realistically, they don't feel that perfect person that they see.
Okay, but now, again, this was kind of off topic. We didn't really discuss this in preparation for the show today, but there's two different inner voices that we have. And we're going to have to kind of sum it up here quickly, but there's guilt and then there's shame. Okay, when someone feels guilty from their conscience, that they know that they've done something bad, that they can go ahead and fix it, they can address it and get resolution. Shame is, I am a bad person for what I have done. That can be paralyzing to them. How can they work through if their inner voice is telling them not only what you did was wrong, but who you are is bad for having done that?
Most people will go here and say, man, you hear this term all the time. It is what it is, man. And they kind of like do the Band-Aid method. Guys, we have to stop that. So what I would say is like, you know what? This happened. So it's acceptance. I love the word acceptance. Be like, hey, this happened. I'm not proud of it. Like, say it all out there on the table. I lied, okay? And I didn't do the right thing. It's my fault. Or the situation happened. I got to work through this. So then you start going into strategy mode. Say, you know, I don't like. So once you accept it, you'll start to acknowledge the emotion. You'll stop hiding the emotion and putting it behind you like it never happened. Because you accept it, you accept the emotion that came with it. Only then can you then go forward and start strategizing with an apology, with the next course of action. So that's how I can start very briefly here today. We teach that at the Lee Rock Academy, step by step.
Okay, so then when we're talking about accepting our weaknesses, because when people come to me and they say, I have a problem here. I say your problem is one of three things. It is one, either you're just trying to do something that it's not your nature to do, so you're going to suck when you do it. You're just not going to be good at it, period. Even if you practice, even if you work really, really hard, you know what? It's going to be a weakness because your strength is the opposite. Okay, so we can spin it that way. Or, you know what? Maybe you're not doing well in this situation because you need to take care of yourself better, which means stop what you're doing, take that time out, put that mask on yourself. But then when you go back, you will be doing it in a higher quality state. Or it could be, look, you have an issue. You have a more profound issue than this activity that you're struggling with right now. You need to get resolution to that issue. Yeah, you actually do need to go to another professional to deal with something that you might need to go to an expert with letters after their name to get that, because it's not even about what you're doing. It's about the source of your behavior. Okay, so those are things that accepting your weaknesses. How do you know if it's a weakness as opposed to a profound issue?
I wouldn't say that you accept weaknesses. I think that that's a weaknesses is a trigger word for the brain. I really would say accept reality, accept what happened in that moment. Right. So, for example, I would be this clear with myself. We were driving down the street and then I hit a tree when the tree was there. I was driving. It was late. I just took a left turn. I was anxious. I don't know. Right. So accepting, hey, I was driving late. I may have been intoxicated. I know I left the bar. Like, just accepting the little steps will get you to where you need to go. You don't have to ask yourself, is this a weakness? Is it not? Don't make it too complex. Just accept the things that actually happened step by step. And you'll then come to a conclusion of what actually happened, whether you're biased or not.
So you're basically saying don't be judgmental in the first place. Yeah, just be honest without being disjudgmental.
Yeah. Because self-judging and being, you know, it's already, the situation is bad enough, right? For whatever that conflict might be. All you do is want to say it happened and what happened. The steps. I woke up. I was drinking, went to bar with buddies. Okay.
So you're basically saying be able to look at information without forming any judgment about it per se.
Yeah, just I would say take a deep breath and be like, okay, just admit to yourself the steps that took place. Just what took place, not necessarily how you feel about them just yet. We're going to draw conclusions in a second. But before we draw conclusions, we need to know what we're drawing conclusions from. So we need to know the activity that took place. So if we can clearly outline in clarity the steps, we're good from there.
Okay, sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt you, Aaron, but we're coming up to the end of the show. I want everyone to know about who you are and how to get a hold of you. So is there anything you want to tell our listeners today about how to get more information about you or to attend your academy? What would you like to let our listeners know?
Guys, this is Aaron Douglas. Hey, one way to find me, go on YouTube, Aaron Douglas, the Lee Rock Academy. There's LinkedIn as well if you're more in the professional sphere. If you go on Instagram, _Aaron.Douglas on LinkedIn, and a great number to call into my business phone, guys. I'm always handy by it. It's 980-781-7793. This is where you can reach me directly and my assistant. We're on the same business line. Once again, that number is 980-781-7793. This is Aaron Douglas from the Lee Rock Academy.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Aaron. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, I know I have a very wide, diverse group of listeners, a lot of people who want to get better personally, but they don't really know how to. I think Aaron and I are going to be doing some more work together after this, just because you don't accidentally succeed. You have to proactively pursue the work that you got to do, because the ROI is always worth it. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, too, there is no neutral energy. You can be a positive or a negative element in people's lives. That's the people you love, the people that you know, the people that you don't know, the people that you will never meet. There are always going to be people absorbing your emotional and mental and physical energy. So thank you again so much for listening today. The number to the station, 888-627-6008. And the email is thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you'll see us here same time next week on BBS Radio. Have a great week.
Goodbye.